Father, we thank you for bringing us together in a time like this, a time to reconnect us back to where it happened. A time, Lord, to reconnect us with the beginning of our walk with you. A time for you to bring your compass into our lives, and that will point towards the place that we first recognized as the gates of heaven. The first time we experienced an open heaven in our lives, which as a result of activities and labors we have abandoned. Lord, a time to bring us back to the altar that is now filled with ashes of past burnings without fresh fire. Lord, we have come to such a point where you need to beckon on us and give us a fresh challenge. Lord God, what shall we do when the bread in our vessels, the bread in our bags are spent? Lord, except to return to base and get a replenishment. Lord, we plead with you that in the course of this meeting, while we thank you for bringing us, you will please not withdraw your hand.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Thank you, Father.
Thank you.
Help our hearts. Help us to accept your dealings.
Amen.
Help us to allow your spirit to work on our lives.
Amen.
When you decide to confront us with the blatant truth about our lives, help us not to dodge.
Amen.
Help us to accept your verdict.
Amen.
And help us to accept your help.
Amen.
Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name we have prayed.
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Please be seated. I want to thank the Lord who has brought us together in this holy convocation. A point at which the Lord, we have to brood over our lives. A point at which I perceive the Lord will have to challenge us and bring us to such an experience that can rekindle his fire in our lives. Many times we do not know that we have walked away from the Lord. Many times we do not know why we pursue after legitimate assignment. We wander away from the one who assigned us. Many times in the pursuit of ministry and ministerial fulfillment, in the pursuit of our business career and whatever it is, we have quietly traveled away from the Lord, and we are just depending on the past glory. And there is a need for us to return to base this night, because it is the opening night. I will just be bringing something more like an opening charge, just to prepare our hearts, to condition our heart in such a way that the Lord could relate with us in the course of this meeting. I will want you to come with me to the book of 1 Samuel. I feel like we should discuss what are those issues that the Lord will have us look at in the course of this meeting. And I pray that the Lord will help your heart and will help my heart. What God has called us to do, or what God has called us for in this meeting, is very rare. When I say rare, I'm not saying that this meeting is special. No, I just know that many times we do not think that a car that is running on reserve tank has capacity to overtake another. But the difference is that it will travel far before it finally stops. Many times, because of ability to do several things, we do not know that we are running out of fuel. We keep running, we keep walking, we keep doing so many things, and yet we neglect our better. I am desiring that the Lord will speak to us tonight. Can you come to chapter 9 of the book of 1 Samuel? I want us to start from there. If the Lord now so desire tonight, He might introduce us to chapter 35 of Genesis, where we have taken our theme for this meeting. But this is the opening charge. 1 Samuel chapter 9. I will read from verse 1 so that we can give it a context. Now there was a man of Benjamin whose name was Kish, the son of Abiel, the son of Zeror, the son of Beholath, the son of Aphia, a Benjamite, a mighty man of power. And he had a son whose name was Saul, a choice young man, and a goodly. And there was not among the children of Israel a goodlier person than he. From his shoulders and upward, he was higher than any of the people. And the asses of Kish, Saul's father, were lost. And Kish said to Saul, his son, "Take now one of the servants with thee, and arise, go, seek the asses." And they passed through Mount Ephraim, and passed through the land of Shalisha. But they found them not. Then they passed through the land of Shalim, and there they were not. And they passed through the land of Benjamites, but they found them not. And when they were come to the land of Zuph, Saul said to his servant that was with him, "Come, and let us return, lest my father leave caring for the asses and take thought for us." I'd like to pause there. May the Lord bless this word in our hearts in the name of Jesus. Amen. I believe in my heart that the story I have just read is a story that we are well familiar with. And I desire that the Lord will quietly lead us into a moment for us to conduct an audit check on our lives, as many as will be sincere among us tonight. The Bible began with an introduction of the family to which Saul belonged. And my interest is not to look at that family tonight, even though it was correct for me to tell you that every man that God will use must be traceable. We should be able to trace his genealogy. Every man that may matter in the matter of the kingdom should belong to a family. We should be able to trace where he's coming from. We should be able to trace his antecedent. We should be able to know his pedigree. Like I would tell fellow servants of God, now you are a man of God. When were you a boy of God? Can we know? Can we trace it? Can we know your nanny? Who raised you? Who brooded over your life? Who incubated over your life? Who changed your diapers? We should be able to trace that. If it's not there, then you are a stranger in ministry. It was easy for Moses to help the daughters of Jethro, and they went to town sharing testimony of Moses, because Moses had traveled far from Egypt where they did not know that he was a murderer. But such ministry he cannot perform in Egypt because they know his story. They know his history. Only a fraudulent man will come to ministry and yet will not be able to trace where he's coming from. Only a fraudulent man will not start where people know him and where they can challenge the authority of his ministry. Only a fraudulent man comes into ministry and yet nobody can say, we know when he was converted and we saw him as he was growing in the faith. Only a fraudulent man enters into ministry through the back door. But that's not the issue here tonight. I don't want to trace that. But I feel I should drop that because I see a trend. I see a cancerous growth in the body of Christ. And I see a damage that is being done every day because we have people on pulpits who themselves are still in the pit to be pulled out. And it is very, very important for us to understand that God does not work that way. He's such a very principled being, and I've never seen him compromising at any time. All right, let me leave that. But again, you also notice that in verse 2, the Bible said, this man called Kish had a son, whose name was Saul, a choice young man, and a goodly. You know, I love the way King James put his English. And goodly. And as though God, understanding that people could challenge that assertion, say, how do you know it's goodly? And the Bible says, and there was not among the children of Israel a goodlier person. God's choice. That for God to look at this young man, God compared him with everybody in Israel. God looked for somebody who had a better qualification. God checked so that nobody will raise his hand and say, excuse me, I am better than this one. It's a challenge, and I say to you, it's a challenge that as a leader, those you lead, they pray more than you do. It's a challenge that those you lead, they read more than you read. It's a challenge that those we lead, sometimes they also understood the scripture more than we do. It's a challenge. And honestly, you may find it extremely difficult when you have people around you who appear better than you do. You might find it difficult. You might find it difficult to rescue a man when you yourself are in the same trouble with him. No, I read in my Bible when Peter was in the prison, and God sent an angel in response to the prayer of the saints to deliver Peter. And the Bible says, and the angel came upon him. And I sat down, I was looking at that statement. the angel came upon.
In other words, that angel came from a higher level. If he would be qualified to set Peter free, that angel must not be in the prison. He descended. He came. He came from a higher plane. And there is no way we will be able to do anything that will affect our generation when we are still struggling with what men are struggling with outside. But I'm not waiting here. I'm just thinking that I should drop these few hints before we start to look at the matter. But you see, what brought this story was that the asses of Kish, the father of Saul, were lost. And Kish felt that the only person that can be saddened with that responsibility of looking for the lost asses was Saul. Of course, as I checked through the scriptures, I noticed that at this point in time, Saul, even though a young man, was already married, and he had children, and he himself had his own flock. He had his own business flourishing, and yet his father had a need. His father had a problem, and his father beckoned on him. Saul, my asses are lost. Can you go seek these asses for me? And I felt that was a job Kish should give to the servant, to the slaves. But he said, no, I'm going to call a son to do it. Every time, as I look at the Word of God, I just discovered that for us, if we want housemaid, we likely go and ask for somebody from Cotonou or Togo. Am I correct? You know, somebody who is, as it were, less privileged. Somebody you think who does not have a future. Somebody you think, if you use or abuse, it won't make a difference. But I kept seeing in the Word of God that each time God wants to perform a work, He does not look for such men. He looks for children. The trouble of Abraham was that the steward of his house was not his own child. He said, "This Eliezer of Damascus is the steward of my house." And I said, what is serious about having a steward and who is not your son? In fact, you should be happy that it is not your child that is doing housemaid. But Abraham understood that in God, when somebody is a steward, he has access to the inheritance of the man that is serving. Now, how can this man, who is my servant, be such that did not come from my loins? Why will a stranger inherit my estate? Why did I go this angle now? I simply just want to sensitize your heart. For adventure, you are also a servant of God. And yet, the gene of God is not in you. You are only serving for nothing. I need to say it as sharp as that because of issues that we are going to be discussing in the course of this meeting. Eliezer served Abraham meritoriously, at least by my own record, for 65 years. I wouldn't know when he started to serve Abraham, but Abraham was 75 years old when the Bible started to talk about him. And Eliezer was on ground from that point. And he served for 65 years. 25 years of the first phase of Abraham's walk with God until he got the promised child. And the promised child was 40 years, you know, before Abraham relieved Eliezer of that position. For all along, all the goods of Abraham were in Eliezer's hand. But once Isaac got married at the age of 40, Abraham took everything in the hand of that servant and gave it to his son. So I ask, so for what did you serve? What was the gain of this man who served for 65 years at the end of it? Nothing. What was his crime? Because he was not a son. So let me just quietly put it in your hand that whereas serving God looks so cheap, in fact, people are even advertising in churches, join the workers' group, join the workers' group. Don't be in the house of God doing nothing. You must join a unit. And I see this error. I see this error. I don't know where God's work is being advertised. I've never seen it in the Bible. I don't know. And then we do some crash program, 3 weeks, and then he has become a worker. It's all right. Let's continue. We'll meet God one day. I just know that such error will never help us. It has never helped, and it will never help. But you know, that again is not the issue that I want to pursue. But because of the sensitivity of this meeting, I thought that I should call your attention to these things because we will get there in the course of our discussion. And I want you to see, as Kish called his son, now I want you to go and seek for the asses. And Saul did not argue. He felt that even though he had a business, yet his business must wait when his father's business is suffering. Whatever might be important to him, whatever program he must have drawn for himself, must be on hold now that the father needs his attention. It was a great heart. Of course, you know God was looking for a king at the request of Israel. And all of these were to show the kind of heart that Saul possessed. And as I discussed about the heart of Saul, we are going somewhere that has something to do directly with the theme of this meeting, so that you also may understand that God could not have called a meeting of this nature for the fun of it. There must be something he is looking for, and I sense God once again might be looking for a king. God once again might be looking for a captain of his people. God once again might be looking for a man that will feed Israel, his people, and tend them like a shepherd with a shepherd's heart. Now, I notice that as Saul took off, I was so surprised that his father did not give Saul a servant from himself. He asked Saul to take the servant with him. I don't know how God behaves this way. I don't know. But leave that. We'll come back there. And the Bible says he passed through Mount Ephraim. Excuse me. How many of you have climbed mountain before? You have climbed mountain before. Is it easy to climb a mountain, sir? I want you to see a man who was looking for the asses of his father. He passed through Mount Ephraim, and you read that statement, it looks as though he was driving on an expressway. As he set out, The first thing that confronted him was Mount Ephraim. And the Bible said he passed through it. The Bible didn't say he climbed. The way he climbed that mountain, the way he ascended into the top of that mountain and he searched the place, the Bible didn't see it as though it was a big problem for him. The zeal, the zest, the passion, the commitment made it look as though Mount Ephraim was nothing. I'm sure you remember the story of Jacob when he saw Rachel. And he wanted Rachel at all costs. Do you remember? And Laban said, why will you serve me for nothing? So maybe your wages. He said, well, Rachel. If Rachel becomes my wages, I'll be all right. He said, I will serve you for 7 years for Rachel. And Laban said, since it's your choice, go ahead and serve. And he saw, and those 7 years were like few days because of the love he had for Rachel. Excuse me, 7 years, are they few days? No. But it didn't affect Jacob. Jacob didn't feel it because of the interest that he had in Rachel. So, was this matter. As Saul came out of the chamber of his father and he set out to pursue the assignment his father gave to him, the first place was the Mount of Ephraim. And he passed through it as if it was nothing. He passed through the land of Shalisha. The Bible said, but they found them not. Just look back and see mountains you have also passed through in the course of your life. Look back and reflect. Difficult areas, difficult situations that you handled graciously. Look back and see difficult moments in the family that you confronted with prayer and you passed through it as if it was nothing. Look at those situations that look as though they were going to swallow you up and God was there. You just passed through it. But then it appears what you are looking for is not there yet. And the Bible said, then they passed through the land of Shalim. And they were not. And they passed through the land of Benjamites. But they found them not. I hope you know that Saul was a Benjamite. Eh? Do you remember he was a Benjamite? So, you can just imagine lands, kilometers that this man had covered, was traveling through the jungle. What was he looking for, please? His father's asses. That's all. And he was moving from one place to the other. As he came through the Mount of Ephraim and those asses were not there, he didn't stop. He went to the land of Shalisha looking for the asses. They were not found. He went to the land of Shalim, still looking for the asses. They were not found. He was not discouraged until he traveled through the entire land of the Benjamites, still looking for the asses. Now, I want you to look at verses 5, 6, and 7. I want you to look at it. I'm not going to deal with all the verses, but there are few phrases that I want to point your attention to before we pray tonight. Look at verse 5. And when they were come to the land of Suf, Saul said to his servant that was with him, "Come and let us return, lest my father leave caring for the asses and take forth for us." And he said unto him, "Behold now, there is in this city a man of God, and he is an honorable man, and all that he saith cometh surely to pass. Now let us go thither, peradventure he can show us our way that we should go." Then said Saul to his servant, "But behold, if we go, what shall we bring the man? For the bread is spent in our vessels, and there is not a present to bring to the man of God. What have we?" All right. I don't know whether somebody is carrying a translation that is different from King James. And just to read verse 7 for us. Is anybody carrying other translations? NIV. All right, my sister, let me hear it. Verse 7. Saul said to his servant, "If we go, what can we give the man?" Is born, is gone. The food in our sack is what? To where? Did they leave home with empty sack? Was there food in their sack when they took off? Have they discovered the asses they were looking for? And yet, the food is gone. Now, please listen carefully. There is a reason the Lord is saying, "Arise and go to Bethel." Many of us, when we started, we started with a heart full of God. When we started with sacks full of the living bread. But now, heart has become empty, sacks are also empty. Wait. Because it is important for God to bring us urgent help in this meeting. Many of us, when we started out, we are such people that do not joke with our righteousness. We are such men that never joked with our holiness. Such that even if you told a small lie for 3 days, you will never be able to sleep. But the story has changed. You could tell big lies now and yet share testimony on Sunday and lead a powerful praise session. And the Sunday school class will be, in the pursuit, we do not know that when you sharpen a cutlass, and the cutlass is sharp, at every strike, that cutlass goes blunt. We don't know that there is a need for a resharpening. There is a need to stop and then resharpen to continue. That which you had in your heart that you give to people and they tremble in those days Now they know that the bread you have now is dry. It's no longer fresh. And that's why you come on pulpit and say, let somebody shout hallelujah. That's your own. Shout a big hallelujah. Come on, shout hallelujah. In fact, we now want to do a locomotive hallelujah. Now, when you are doing all of that, it's a sign that your bread is gone. What concerns message with seven hallelujah? Excuse me. What is the issue? You want to come and sing. Why the long talk? What is it? Are these not cosmetics to cover your ugliness? You know that women, you know that women that are naturally beautiful, they don't need additional gadget to be presented. When we do all those things, are they not signs that there is an ugliness that we are trying to cover? I want you to look at the Word of God tonight. I want you to check inside. It takes sincerity. Sincerity on the part of Saul to speak the way he's speaking here. He said, What have we? Our bags are empty. But you know that your bag is empty, and yet you are still teaching this on this school. You know your bags are empty, and yet you couldn't tell your unit leader that, look, I can't, can you please allow me to go for a refill? I don't want to keep deceiving these people. There is nothing to offer. You just go and download a message from the internet, because nothing fresh is coming again. Now tell me, is this how you and your wife started the journey? What has happened? The bread of your marital bliss, the sack in which you keep them, is empty. The kind of graciousness with which you started out, the kind of love that existed at the beginning, is spent. And yet you never cried out. You are still behaving as though everything is all right. And when they ask you, how are you, say, it is well. It is well. How long are you going to pretend, my sister, that the bag is empty? Girl, how long are we going to pretend as if we are still there when we are not? How long are we going to act as imposters? How long? You know that something has happened to you. This is no longer the person that gave his life to Christ. You know it. Now you know that when you read the Bible is quiet. As though no longer interested in discussing with you. And yet, you are not making definite cry unto God about it. I want you to hear Saul as he was discussing. And I think the big man that he was should make him to make that servant to feel comfortable. He could have said, well, even though there is no money in my pocket here, the ATM is loaded. I'm just looking for ATM to catch something. No. Saul was not going to do such big manism. He said, what can we bring to the man? Aren't we empty? And you are not thinking that now you have not achieved what God wanted you to achieve for him in life. The purpose for which you are created has not been achieved, and yet your bread is finished. You are not thinking in your heart about your situation. You are not facing the reality that confronts you at a time like this. That the assignment God has for you has not been done. And as a matter of fact, what you need for you to do the assignment is not even there anymore. Jesus asked the woman he met at Samaria, said, "Give me to drink." The woman said, "You, a Jew, asking me, a Samaritan, for water? You don't even know yourself." Jesus Christ said, "But if you know the person that is asking," he said, "Who are you? Are you greater than Jacob our father, who dug this well and drank, and his children and his flock?" Thank God for Jacob that sunk the well. And I asked, "Where is your own well that your children will drink from?" Does it make sense? Does it make sense that we are only living on the glory of our pastors? As our daddy said, our pastor said, what are you saying? God told our daddy, what has he told you? What did he tell you? And I feel like we should look at this young man who was not going to pretend to be who he was not. What do we have? And I ask you, sir, what do you have for our generation? What do you have for Nigeria? What do you have for Lagos? We have asked you to leave Lagos. Yeah, I don't go leave Lagos. All right, stay in Lagos. But do you have anything for Lagos? We're not struggling with you. Do you have anything for Lagos? Will Lagos be able to take anything from your life? Will Lagos be better? Will Lagos be helped? Will Lagos receive divine intervention by your presence here? What do you have? Ever since you joined the choir, what have you added? Thank God for the Sunday school units, but the question is, what have you added to the Sunday school units? Man of God, what do you have? Oh, you have brought Nollywood to the pulpit, and you make people laugh and enjoy themselves. Is that what you have? So you have not forgotten that it was when Samson lost his eyes that they asked him to come and do drama for them. That people with correct vision, they don't do drama on the pulpit. What do you have? Saul was going to ask. He won't wait for somebody to ask him. He was asking, what do we have? Our food is gone. Yes, my sister. You are reading for, you think I've forgotten you. I have not. What do we have? What can we give the man of God? The food in our sacks is gone. We have no gifts to take to the man of God. What do we have? No food, no gifts. And people see us carrying sacks. But what they inside the sacks? Emptiness. When you iron your shirt and your tie and everything is to match, but emptiness. When you put on your cap like this on Sunday, and the cap is like satellite dish, people will think you are carrying anointing. But what are we carrying? Emptiness. What do we have? Those bags were full when they took off. They had gifts when they took off. But now, empty. The counsel of Saul was, let us return. Let's return. It is better for us not to get the asses than for us to get lost while seeking the lost asses. You cannot compare sons to asses. No. You will think that God is more interested in you teaching on Sunday in the Sunday school class. It's not true. He's much more interested in your life. You will think that if you don't preach on Sunday, something will happen to the church. It's not true. It's not true. It's not true. I'm telling you, it's not true. God is much more interested in our lives. Saul told his servant, let's return to the father. He was the one that gave us the supply for the assignment. If the assignment is not done and the supply is gone, what do? We return. We are not going to be ashamed of coming back to the father and say, Father, we couldn't do what you asked us to do, but yet we don't want to lose our sonship. Is it not better for us to be failures in our assignment than to be failures as sons and daughters? Several years ago, one man of God, those chiefs of the old block, I don't know whether Baba is still alive now or not, respected man of God, faithful soldier, he met me at a junction. And he stopped me. And he began to talk to me. He was telling me all kinds of things I never prepared for. Serious issues. He said, I want to lend you money. I want to lend you some money. I said, yes, Baba. He said, take your salvation with your right hand. And take the ministry with your left hand. If the ministry is not going, drop it with your two hands. Hold your salvation. That was a counsel that was given to me about 20 years ago. I won't throw that away. Let us return to the Father. Lest the Father stop caring for the asses. He'll be caring for us. Actually, when Saul met Samuel, that was what Samuel told him. Your father has left caring for the asses. He is now worried. About who? About you. He said, we must preach. We must end up your life. It's all right. We must. But you know that the Lord is not so much interested in those who are out there as is interested in your life. What do we have? Do we still have anything in our pocket to offer Nigeria? Is there something remaining in our sacks to offer our generation? Are we going to pretend and yet continue to do legitimate business with empty sacks? What do we have? Is the question tonight. The counsel of Saul was, let us return to the Father. Let's go back to base. Let's get fresh supply. If you so desire, he can send us again. What do we have? Sister, I know you are praying to get married, but what do you have? What do you have? What do you have to offer that man? Are you sure you are a help or someone who needs help? Will you be a help unto him or a hell unto him? What do you have? Bro, you are rooting to get married. You are praying, God, I want to get married. This sister, oh God. Now, thank God for that sister. But what do you have? What do you have to lead her? What do you have to offer your children when they start coming? What do you have? Are you going to serve them emptiness? So, sir, what do we have? What are we going to give to the man of God? You said we should go and meet him. I want to go and meet him. But what do we have? What gifts do we have to offer the man of God? What do we have? When they ask you to come and take Bible study on Tuesday, you don't ask, what do I have? Do I have anything for myself? Not to talk for the people. What do we have? Do I have other translations here? Before we close, what is that, sir? NLT, yes. But we don't have anything to offer him. But we don't have anything to offer. We don't have. All we have is songs we have downloaded and we have copyrighted somewhere. That's all we have. There is no fresh song coming again. What do we have? Riddles and jokes. So we have nothing. We don't have anything to offer. I feel that except God will help us to come to this point, we may not see the need to arise and go to Bethel. Until we see that we have nothing to offer our generation, we may not see the need for us to live where we are and go to where God feels his men. Yoruba says, you wake a man that is sleeping. You don't wake a man that is pretend. Do you understand that Yoruba proverb? When a man is pretending to be sleeping, do you worry yourself waking him up? You know he's pretending now. We don't have anything to offer. Yes, yes. Even our food is gone. They themselves, they are hungry. How would they feed somebody else? You yourself, when you read the Bible is dry. Now, why do you want to read it for another person? Yourself, when you are reading the Bible is not speaking to you. So how do you speak to others? Even our food is gone. Even as we are now, we are face to face with hunger. We have entered into famine ourselves. How can we feed our nation? Brethren, I am aware that not all of us are leaders in churches. But either you know it or not, God has raised every Christian to be a leader. We are the light of the world, Jesus said. A city that is set in the valley. On the hill. That's where he has set us. Cannot be hidden. has put us in prominent positions. That's what it means. It's only by choice that a man starts to live in the gutters. If you are a child of God, you are a prominent person by default. He doesn't need prayer. God, make me famous. Oluwa, Oluwa, Oluwa. Yan lokiki. For a light to be praying that it will be shining. And that light is not, it's not light. It's not light. Even our food is gone. And Nigeria is hungry. Our generation is hungry. Our politicians are hungry. Everywhere you see hunger. But will a hungry man feed an hungry man? It's not done. The counsel of Saul is, let us do what? Let us return. Can you finish that verse for us? And we don't have how many things? A thing. One, like this. We don't have. Only a man who is sincere speaks like this. These are qualities that God saw in Saul that God decided to pick him. A man who will not, because he is doing legitimate business, cut his relationship with his father. Even though he was so much interested in discovering and recovering the lost asses, yet Saul was also not interested in getting lost from the presence of his father. Already, Saul was beginning to miss his father. Already, he began to see that whereas the assignment is critical, yet his connection with his father was much more critical. We have come to this place because God wants to show to us the need to travel back to Bethel. Can you read verse 5 for us now? And do you know that all of these things had not taken 1 week before this weakness set in? I'm surprised that Samuel told Saul 3 days ago those asses were found. So I said, so that shortness of time had taken so much toll on their lives. That simple departure from home, where they could get fresh supply, made their sacks to deplete so fast. The prodigal son was a great son. His father was very rich. And what he demanded from his father was not wrong. Give me the portion that falleth to me. I'm not asking for my brothers. My own portion of your inheritance. And his father didn't deny him. Give him that inheritance. I was looking at the young ruler, a rich young ruler that came to Jesus. He said, "Good master, what shall I do that I may inherit eternal life?" Eternal life is an inheritance. It's not a commodity to be purchased. And this man took his inheritance. The problem with him was not his taking the inheritance, but he traveled away from home. Once he's disconnected from his father, he's disconnected from his source. After a short while, all those things he took away from home, what happened to it? Finished. And he began to be in want. He was hungry. He was famished. Not because he lost his senses. Of course, he did. But because he was disconnected from his father. What happened to you that disconnected you from the place of prayer, that now you don't have time to pray again? What has happened, sir, that the Bible is thought of last, especially only when you had a bad dream? That's when you remember to go and carry sir, but we are bobuti out on bobuti. Why is it that now you no longer seek personal fellowship with the Lord? Each time you come, you're only coming to make requests. You're not coming to fellowship with the Father. And see how dry and dehydrated you are. You have fat bank account but lean soul. You have great exploits in your career, except that the enemy is exploiting you because you lack inner strength to resist his temptation. Can you read that verse for us as we close verse number 5? Finally, they entered the region of Suf. And Saul said to his servant, "Let us go where?" Let's go. Let us go. Sister, when will you return home? I was talking with one imam last week, sharing the word of God with him. And when I talk to Muslim, I don't carry Bible. I just talk. Informal discussion. And I said, "Well, Jesus died, and when he died, it was 570 years after his death that I gave back to Muhammad." He said, "Yes." And I was using the Quranic name. I was not talking Jesus. I'm not Isa. He said, "Ah, she killed me." I said, "Don't worry about that one." I said, even before Jesus was born, the Bible, the Old Testament, had been written hundreds of years before he was born. He said, "True." And the Bible said that Anabi Ibrahim took Anabi Isiaka to be sacrificed. But checking Quran, Quran said Anabi Ibrahim took Anabi Ismail. I said that record has been there over 1,000 years before Muhammad was born, when there was no thought of Islam. I'm only thinking that one of the two books must be lying, either the Bible or the Quran. One of the two should be lying. He looked at me. The first book must be saying the truth. I said, right. And do you know that it was that Isiaka that gave birth to all the children that we call the children of Israel? I said, I'm sorry that our mommy asked you to leave. That was Sarah. It was a mistake. It was an error on our part for her to ask you and your mother to leave. But if our mothers are fighting, children should not fight. Can you return home? Let's go. We have a home. We have a place. We have a source. We have a place where you are free. When you are in a strange place and you are hungry, excuse me, many times you pretend as if you are not hungry. You be enduring the pangs of hunger because you are not at home. But if you are at home and you are hungry, excuse me, what do? You announce it, and if nobody listens, you go to where food is. And you take the portion that you want. Nobody challenges your own home. Saul said, no, we are not going to Italy, for they will serve us junk. We are not going to canteen, because we are not sure whether they are not going to give us expired food. Let's go. Where? Let's go home. That's the place we know we are free. That's the place we know they understand our diet. That's the place we know that when they cook that which will nourish our lives. That's the place where we have freedom. That's the place where we have right. We are children in that house. Let's go back there. Let's go home. Why visiting eateries when you can go home? How much is a plate of fried rice, fried chicken, or tantalizer, or how much, sir? $750 to $1,000. And what would they put there? The quantity of rice, and even what they call chicken that you eat, chicken that is not up to 2 months old, is that chicken or poison? And then they put sweeteners, artificial sweeteners, because they know that all we know is our tongue. Anything beyond our tongue does not matter. Whatever damage it goes to go and do inside is not our concern. As long as it's sweet, it is sweet on our tongue. The only children eat icing sugar. Correct men, don't eat icing sugar. Let us go. We're not going to the bucateria. We're not going to Mama Put. No. Where should we go, please? Home. Where Baba is. where we have light. Home where we have space. Home where we are loved. Home where we have inheritance. Home where we have our portion to the estate of the Father. Let us go home. You have dwelt outside too long, battered by sin. It's time to return home. You have been perforated everywhere, beaten all over. It's time to go home. When you flog a dog outside, where does he return? He runs home. Sister, when will you return? Bro, when are you going to return home? The Father always sitting on the balcony, waiting for when you will return. He's ever looking straight towards where he believes you will emerge from. While you go around with dry bread, parched bread, while you go around with rancid oil you call anointing, while you go around with life unbaked, while you drink wine that is not fermented, the counsel of Saul, let us do what? Return home. Let's go. Yes, brother.
By now. My father will be more worried about God.
Kai, wait. You see a son who understood the heart of his father. He said, by now. My father, I know him. I know him. He will be more worried for us than for the asses. Brother, Jehovah is more worried for you than for your banking job. He's more worried. Actually, sister, it's not that God is lacking ability to give you the husband that you are asking for, except that he's more worried about your life. His first concern is how to recover you, seeing that you are lost. His first business is how to reconnect with you so that it could be one happy family one more time. Let us go is the counsel of Saul. There is no reason to travel further from home. Every step from where he was will be a wrong step. Every step further will create a wider gap between him and his father. One more ministration will take you further away from Jehovah. One more prayer practice will take you further away from God. One more Bible study you handle will take you further away and nearer to the devil. The wise counsel tonight is what? Let us return. Stand to your feet. Let's pray. Let us return. Let us return to the Father. Let us return to the Father. I wish we could sing a hymn I wrote over this passage of the Bible. But I don't have the hymn book here except in my laptop. Let us return now unto the Father. Let us return. Bosom shall we be meet forever. I've forgotten the lyrics now. I wrote a hymn on this passage. I wish tonight you will discover the need for you to return to the Father. Wanderer, when will you come back home? When will you come back home? Sin has battered you, hit you right, left, and center. You cannot handle the situation again, but you can come back home. I keep telling myself the devil can build a wall of troubles around me, but he cannot put a roof over my head that I cannot look towards heaven. That's what Yoruba will say. When you enter into troubled waters like this, you should know that the next thing to do is to do what? Is to return. Can't you see how weak you are? That small temptation put you flat on your back because there is no more food in your sacks. You lack stamina. You lack resistance. Your immune system is no longer working. It's time to return. Little thing, you get angry. You fly off the handle. But you used to be a gentle brother before. Is that not a sign that your sacks are empty? It's time to return. Let us return. Close your eyes. Pass me not, O gentle Savior. Very solemnly. All of us thou hast called, holy Savior, do not pass me by. My Savior, oh my Savior, my humble cry, my humble cry. Thank you. Who is here tonight? And you know that actually the person that is standing here now is an empty shell, a shadow of himself. He said, Lord, I know this is no longer myself. I am spent, finished. I'm only pretending. The bags are empty. Nothing to offer, not one thing to offer again. And tonight, you want to return to the Father. You don't want to go on pretending. You don't want to go on patching it. You don't want to go on, let's patch it, let's manage on. But tonight you want to say, Lord, I'm not managing. I want to return home. I can be afraid of others. I shouldn't be afraid of returning to my Father. Lord, I am returning home. And you want to really, really return home tonight. Can I request that you leave where you are and come to this altar area where we have separated and find a place to kneel down there and discuss this matter with the Lord? Where are you now? Just come. I know that thou hast called Jesus to not pass me by. I save Savior, oh my Savior. My Savior, my humble cry, I want all this. Thou art calling Jesus to us. My Savior, oh my Savior, my Savior, my humble cry. Jesus, can I give you space to discuss with God? Can I give you space to talk with your Father? The counsel is, let us go. Let us go. Fornication has overtaken you. Immorality has overtaken you. Lies have overtaken you. You are now empty. There is nothing left inside of you. You weren't like this before. It was not like this before. It wasn't like this before. But now, something else has happened to you. Would you like to say, Lord, please, I return tonight. I return tonight. I return tonight. I return tonight. This is what I will not do before. I become so cheap in the hand of the devil now. He does anything with me. He suggests anything with me. He knows I lack resistance. My immune system is completely turned upside down. I can't resist any virus anymore. I can't resist any spiritual bacteria anymore. Lord, please, I am coming back home. I'm returning home. Please, take me as I am. Behold me, Savior, at thy feet. Deal with me as thou seest me. Thy work begin, thy work complete. And take me as I am. Oh Lord, take me as I am. Oh Lord, and take me as I am. My only plea, Christ, died for me. Oh, take me as I am. Oh Lord, and take me as I am. Oh Lord, and take me as I am. My only has died for me, O tell me as I am. Can you discuss with the Lord? Can you ask Him to take you back into His bosom? Can you ask Him to receive you back? Even though you have spent your life in riotous living, you have wasted everything He gave you, but now you are coming back. Lord, just take me as I am, barefooted, in tatters, but Lord, take me as I am. Receive me back to yourself and grant me a new beginning. Like to bring this prayer point to a close. In Jesus' name, we have prayed. Lord, what can we say to these things? Except you help us, we will die. Please come with speed tonight, and please take us back to your bosom.
Amen.
There is a place we belong. Please take us back there.
Amen.
There is a place where we have our inheritance. Please take us back there.
Amen.
There is a place where we are free and where we are not ashamed to express our heart. Please take us back there.
Amen.
There is a place where we are loved. There's a place where we feel secure. There's a place that we belong to. There's a place where we are wanted. Please take us back there.
Amen.
Lord, remove this tattered dress and give us the best robe.
Amen.
Wash us. Cleanse us.
Amen.
Purge us.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus.
Amen.
A new heart. A new beginning, a new dawn, a new day, you will give to us in the name of Jesus. Lord, a fresh beginning, a fresh start. Baba, you will ignite in us in the name of Jesus. I am praying that there will be no more drifting at the end of this meeting. In the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name, we have prayed.
Amen.